This morning will be a Christmas message. And just want to read you a story. I love this story. I do it every year. But it says here, according to ancient tradition, the three wise men were three kings, differing one from the other so sharply and so strikingly as any three individuals could possibly do. Gaspar, the youthful king of Tarsus, set out on his quest that the star would lead him to a king. The world, he felt, wanted a master, a sovereign, a ruler, and a lord. And longing for such a lord, Gaspar took with him a tribute of gold, a royal gift. Balthasar, the mature king of Chaldea, hoped the star would lead him to a god. Thirsting for a god as the heart thirsts for the water brooks, longing for a god as a blind man longed for light, Balthasar answered the challenge of the star. He took with him a tribute of incense, frankincense, with which to worship, and Melchior, the aged king of Nubia, longed for a savior, hoping fervently that the star might lead him to a savior who he strongly felt must of necessity be a sufferer. He took with him a gift of myrrh. And so they came to Bethlehem. And when they saw that the star had but led them to a baby in the arms of his mother, all three were at first overwhelmed with disappointment and dismay. But as they sat and pondered this strange happening, they heard Mary, after the fashion of mothers, singing to her child. And all three listened. "My soul doth magnify the Lord," she said. "The Lord!" exclaimed Gaspar. "Then I have found my sovereign, my monarch, my king, my Lord." And he offered his gold. But Mary sang on. "And my spirit had rejoiced in God," she continued. "In God," cried Balthasar, his face lighting up. "Then I have found him, the God for whom my spirit hungered." And he presented his incense to the babe. But Mary had not yet finished her song. "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit had rejoiced in God my Savior." "My Savior," cried Melchior. "My Savior." And he offered his vase of myrrh. And so Gaspar found in Jesus the king of his desire. And Balthasar found in Jesus the God he so passionately sought. And Melchior found in Jesus the Savior for whom his very soul was aching. You see, every man finds in Jesus exactly what he needs most. That is the nature of his Christmas story. And that is the essence of the everlasting gospel. Much is made of the gifts the wise men brought to the baby Jesus, and rightly so. Yet this is not the most important act of the dramatic event. What is more significant is that these wise men fell down and worshipped him. Gifts could be sent, but worship requires presence. Gifts can be given to those who are equal, or even to those in inferior stations of life. But worship indicates the recognition of a superior being. Gifts may be given out of one's abundance, but worship is an act of humble acknowledgement of dependence on another. The act of worship was the admission of the wise men that Jesus was not an equal, but that he was indeed the King. So the Bible makes no prior mention of the wise men, nor are they ever mentioned again, ever, except in Matthew chapter 2. But what information the scriptures do give about these three men speaks volumes and places them in the group of Bible characters who are role models for Christians today. They were wise. Wise because their conduct is a striking example of faith. Wise because they believed God's promise that he would send a Messiah. Wise because they came seeking the King of Heaven. Wise because they believed in God's guidance and followed the star. Wise because they believed God's word, prophesied 500 years before Jesus' birth, Micah 5:2. Even when scribes and the Pharisees took no action to find the Christ child. Wise because they found the young child with Mary, his mother. They believed they had found God's King. Wise because they found God's King and they fell down and worshiped him. Wise because they gave their gifts to him. They gave their best. What examples of wisdom and faith these wise men from the East leave these 2,000 years later for the church to practice. They leave determination. They leave endurance. They leave with us perseverance. In other words, they continued, they followed the star. The Bible doesn't say how far they traveled, but they traveled far. They came from the east. They persevered. They continued on because they had a purpose. And they did not give up their purpose, because that was following the star and following the King, the Messiah, the God King that he sent down to earth. So today, we as wise men worship him still and present to him our best gifts. What do you present to Jesus Christ, the King? What do you give him? We don't have myrrh to give. We don't have gold to give. We don't have frankincense to give. But all that God wants from us is we give up unto him our lives. We give unto him our service. We give unto him our time. We give unto him our talents. And we give unto him our treasures. What can I give him? I can give my heart. Yeah. That's all he asks of us. So God's perfect gift. When I was a child, you know, I was always excited about Christmas. All I thought about was gifts, presents, what I'm going to get under the tree. And so when everyone was asleep, I would sneak down downstairs, go down and go under the tree and count how many gifts was written to Myra. So I would count how many gifts I had. And then my children did the same thing. They would go under the tree. So after a while, I didn't write their names on the cards. You know, I knew whose gifts was. I never wrote their names, so they never could say, I have more gifts than you, Tammy. I have one more than you. You know how kids are. But gifts, you know, that was always on my mind until Mama said, you know, it's Christmas is not about gifts, it's about Jesus Christ. And, you know, yes, yes. So thank God for God's perfect gift. In Luke 2:7 tells us that Mary gave birth to her firstborn child, her firstborn son. And what did she do? In Luke 2:7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So the babe was wrapped in swaddling clothes. What are swaddling clothes? Now, to swaddle a baby is to restrict its movement. And that's what they believe. These were cloths that they wrapped the baby up in. They wrapped the hands, everything. Baby was wrapped up. And they felt and they believed that it ensured correct early development of the limbs. And also it represented that parents, you know, love and care. It symbolizes humbleness. Also, swaddling a baby is becoming a human being for our sake. Now, Jesus Christ was swaddled in cloths. Okay. When I had Tammy and she had a whole bassinet of clothes. I mean, everything was prepared for her. Her clothes were all washed and all nicely put, all in the drawers. The nursery was all set. She had everything in her crib, everything brand new. Look at baby Jesus. The King of the Jews was born in a stable. Now, if you're around cows like we are, you know that the manure smells. And sometimes I tell Brother Ed, dear, I smell you before I see you. That means you either had drove your truck in manure and came home and I could smell it, or you worked with the cows today and one of the calves either peed on you or messed up on you. And so you can smell that smell. And you can imagine the stable, because the stables housed animals. It housed the donkeys, it housed the sheep when they came from the field. It housed, and so naturally, they don't say, okay, I need to go out and do my business. They do it right there in the stable. So, and also, baby Jesus was not put in a crib with a soft mattress and nice warm blankets. He was put in the manger. It was the feeding trough for the animals. And why do you suppose is this? He came in a humble fashion. When a king is born, he is born in the best of hospitals. He has the best of doctors, the best of nurses, the best, the very best was given for the king. Our King Jesus was born in a humble stable because he was a precious gift, but because He came to us in human form. He left the glories of heaven to come to die for us. So he came into a humble surroundings. But brothers and sisters, there is good news, because the angels proclaimed it. They said, we bring good news to all people, to everyone, to all of us are included. And what is that good news? The good news is, first of all, the baby, the Christ child, will bring to us. It says that the good news is the spiritual darkness which covered the earth was about to be rolled away. The good news is the way to peace and pardon with God was about to be thrown open to all mankind. The good news is that the head of Satan is about to be bruised. The good news is liberty was about to be proclaimed to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. The mighty truth was about to be proclaimed that God could be just and yet for Christ's sake justify the ungodly. The good news is salvation was no longer to be seen through types and figures, but openly and face to face. The good news is the knowledge of God was no longer to be confined to the Jews, but to be offered to the whole Gentile world, and that includes you and I. The good news is the first stone of God's kingdom was about to be set up. If this is not good news, then never were things that deserved the name. The good news to the world was a glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards man. So brothers and sisters, we sing it out that Jesus Christ is a universal Savior. Yeah. Here is the enormity of the gospel. It is for all men, under all skies, in the dark night of man's fears, in the dark night of shattering, of being so fearful, God's light will shine through with global glory. Brothers and sisters, it is not for Jews only, not for Gentiles only, not for whites only, not for colored only, but for all people who will accept this child.
Amen. Yes.
And so, the good news, the light comes, darkness cannot overtake it. The light takes over darkness. And then we find the all-embracing love and grace of God comes to a broken home. The love of God comes to a person who is ill. The love of God comes to someone who cannot find their way, someone who is lonely, someone who is beaten up, someone who cannot think for themselves. God's love comes and surrounds them. Comes and brings liberty to the captives. Those that are bound, God's love comes and sets them free. He brings liberty, and he said it in the temple. He said, the Son of God comes. I come to set the captives free. Brothers and sisters, this is the gift that God has given to you and I.
Yes.
And it is this gift that we celebrate today. The gift of his son. You see, Isaac Watts caught the majesty and the magnificence and splendor of the good news when he wrote, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." He says, "Let earth receive her king." And he says also, "Let every heart on earth, let every heart prepare him room." Isaac is saying here, let every heart be open to receive Jesus Christ. Christ this day. And when you receive Him into your hearts, when you receive Him into your lives, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we can honestly sing, joy to the world. Jesus has come. I have been set free. I am healed. I am now a child of God. I belong to Him. I can call upon Him when I am afflicted. I can go boldly to the throne of God because I am His child. This is the gift that God has given to you and I. Let us all say, recite together John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There was no reason why God should send His Son into the world for us except He loved us. Because the scripture says, for God so loved the world. It didn't say God loved the world. It emphasized it. It says, for God so loved the world. He so loved us that He said, Son, my son, it is time for you to leave this heavenly home and come down to earth. My people need you. My people need you. My people need a Savior who will be a sufferer, a Savior who will die for them, because they have no life eternal without the death of this Son, Jesus Christ. And so He so loved the world that He gave us His Son. There was nothing in us to attract God. There was no glory which man could call to the glory, compared to the glory of His Son. For the Son whom God sent to the world knew, He knew that He would be insulted, that He would be spat upon, that He would be rejected, that He would be whipped and beaten up, that He would be put to death. But still, He knew that without His coming, that you and I would be lost forever. We would die of our own sins. So, living man, in spite of all our transgressions, and longing to impart eternal life to them, He undertook. He undertook the only possible way to save those He loved from destruction. He sent His Son into the world for us. And this is God's gift of love. In 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thank God for His Son, a gift too wonderful for words. In James 1:17 says, whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God above. And God sent a perfect gift, and that was His Son. Ephesians 2:8, salvation is a gift from God. When you believed, you received salvation. And so, empowering us for service, God sent His Son. It empowers us for service. He sent His Son to forgive, so that we are saved from our sins, so that we have life eternal. He sent His Son for us to be comforted. He sent His Son so that there will be peace. And brothers and sisters, we can still have peace despite what's happening in our world today. And He sent His Son to lead us and to guide us and to sanctify us, to infill us with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we have been empowered to tell others about the good news that the angels broadcasted to the shepherds. And when they said, do not be afraid, for we bring good news to all people. So it is no credit to us, but we give credit to God, for He so loved us that He sent us His gift. It has been said that Jesus is the reason for the season. We know that other reasons to celebrate Christmas is pale in comparison. Although the circumstances of life may find yourself in, you may not give you much reason to rejoice, yet you can still rejoice, brothers and sisters, in the fact that Jesus Christ came to earth for you. Many celebrate the season, but only those who know Jesus Christ as Savior celebrate the reason. Let me say that again. Many celebrate the season, but only those who know Jesus Christ as Savior celebrate the reason. Many in the world do not know Jesus has ever been here, not to mention his coming again. To millions, there is no babe of Bethlehem, no child wrapped in swaddling clothes, no shepherds, no wise men from the east. There is no guiding star, no angels singing, and no joy to the world. The point is that while Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and we should, we must be aware that multitudes have not heard his name. They do not know the Christ of Christmas. Christmas is such incredible news, and we must not rest until the whole world can celebrate. In Romans 12:1 tells us, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." When Paul instructed the Romans to present themselves as a living sacrifice, he was telling them to give back to God what he had given them. In other words, their own selves. A living sacrifice unto the Lord. You see, God gives us gifts so we can build up his church. To use them effectively, we must realize that all gifts and abilities come from God.
Yes.
To understand that not everyone has the same gifts.
Yes.
To know who we are and what we do best. To dedicate our gifts to God's service and not to our own personal success. To be willing to utilize our gifts wholeheartedly, not holding back anything from God's service. We know that God gives people special abilities, even their ability to earn a living. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the gift of prophecy, speak out with much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, then be encouraging. If your gift is giving, then give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If God has given you a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. If God has given you the gift of love, then love with all your heart. You see, these gifts are given all year round, not only at Christmas. When we give back to God what He has given to us, we give Him the perfect gift, that is, ourselves. So brothers and sisters, I learned as a kid, a little kid in Sunday school, a song that says, "What can I give Him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. But what can I give Him? Give my heart." So I told the Lord, "Lord, this is a short message." I prayed. Every night I go in the office and I go through scriptures and I said, "Lord, this is short. I need more." And then I pray and I go, and the Lord said, "This is it." So brothers and sisters, this is it. But what is your gift to Jesus? What is your gift? You have gifts that He has given you. Use it all for the glory of God. And remember that He is the reason for the season, that we celebrate the reason. God has blessed us abundantly, have you? And so we praise Him and we thank Him. And we give Him a clap offering. Another reason is we partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we bring to remembrance the reason Jesus was sent to earth. He came to die for us. So this morning, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to remember and thank God for His love for us. So loved us, He sent His Son. Would you give your Son to die for the world? I don't think so. But God did, and thank God He did. So now it's time for our Lord's Supper, and everyone comes in.
I was facing the wrong way.